Okay, we're in Hilchos Yontov, Parak Beis, and again, up to for this parak and next parak, primarily deal with halachas of Muchan and Muksa on Yontov. So halacha test continues and says bias. One second. Biasu male peros Muchanen v'nivchas no tami makom apachas. So what that means is that let's say you have a home. That's filled with, or whatever, building filled with fruits. But the fruits have been set aside to be eaten on Yontov, okay? And let's say assuming the bias was sealed, like a shed. And let's say through natural forces, the doors of the shed are opened up on Yontov, you're allowed to take the fruits that are inside, even though they weren't accessible when Yontov started. Ha'omin ala muksa me'erv yonta b'shana ha'shviyas shekol ha'peros hefker. Alright, so as I'm sure we all will soon be getting prepared for this, we know that Shemitah fruit is hefker. I'm not going to get into, this is not the time to get into Otzar Beizin and Heter Mechira, but basically what happens is you're allowed to take some anyone's fruit because it's all hefker. Alright, so let's say, you're outside and before Yontov starts, during Shemitah year, you're standing in front of Hefker fruits, and you're asking yourself, which one of these I'm going to take, okay? Tzarech sheyirshom v'yomar mikan v'ad kan ani notel v'im lo rasham lo yito. So what a person has to say is he has to actually make a mark, right? Whether on a notebook or on the fruit itself and kind of demonstrate, I'm going to be taking from here to here. So he has to specify in the group of Hefker fruits which fruits he's going to take for Yontov. It's not enough just by the fact that they're hefker, that means that they're muchan. You need to do one extra step to designate it. Okay, alacha yud. All right, goy shehevi teshura li Yisrael, b'yantav. So let's say your friendly neighborhood non-Jew decides to bring over a gift basket of food to you on Yantav. So he knows you're celebrating, let's say, Sukkot, and he wants to, give something to you to let you know how much he appreciates you being a great neighbor. Okay, so if inside the gift basket there is some type of, let's say, fruit that is still attached to the ground in the fields, meaning, let's say, make it simple. Let's say you know he also happens to own an apple an apple orchard. And you know that some of the apples are still attached to the tree. Or he brought in some type of animal that you know it's possible could have been captured on Yontov itself. So not only are you not allowed to partake of the stuff that he brought you, you also have to wait the amount of time it would take to do the malacha of, let's say, for instance, capturing the animal. Afilo hadas, even if he brought you like a nice smelling branch, you'd have to wait. You can't smell it. You can't get hana from it until nighttime. For the amount of time that it would take to go and head and let's say pick the hadas. Okay. But let's say you know that it's a chazaka that what he brought you produce-wise is not stuff that's still attached to the ground in this field. Or you could tell that it's clear this stuff was picked on the previous day. That's the key point. In other words, you could tell that, I'm not sure how you would, but you could tell in the fruit itself, he did not pick it today, but he picked it yesterday. Oh, nutsud, right? Or you know it was captured yesterday. Okay, now again, that's the qualification. If he brings all this stuff from within the tchum, then it's mutter. They may view mechutz tchum raise aser. But if he brought it from outside the tchum, which is the other variable now, if he brought anything he brings from outside the tchum, is aser for you to use on yantov. The habab b'shvil yisrael zeh mechutz tchum mutter yisrael acher. But if he brings, if a non-Jew brings food to a Jew to you from outside the tchum, you can't have it, but another Jew would be able to have it on yantov. So tchum becomes a big factor insofar as your ability to partake of that which he brought you. Halachiyat Aleph. Eitzim shenashu min adek al b'yantov. Okay, now we're getting into also Nolot again. All right, so let's say branches fall off a tree on Yantav. Asur lasikam neshen nola. So I can't use those branches as for fire, right, because of nola. Now, again, we have to think a little abstractly here. In other words, when the branches break off the tree, they're no longer considered part of the tree anymore. They're a new entity. They are a branch that I can now burn. So that's why they're considered nola to muksa. Vim nishul usulcha tanor, mar ba'alein eitzim uchanim masikan. However, let's say I'm a clever person. I set up my oven right underneath my tree, okay? And I know that there's a storm coming, and, well, not a rainstorm, but whatever. I know there's a storm coming, a windstorm, and I know that branches will blow off, and the branches, when they blow off, will fall right into the oven, all right? So if that's the case, I'm actually allowed to use those as long as I go ahead and add muchan wood to the bundle. So if it fell automatically into the tanur, I can add more wood to it, and then I can go ahead and use it. Arima sateven, vota shal eitzim. Okay, so let's say I have a pile of straw, or I have a storage room filled with logs. Ein matchilin behen b'yantov, ela im ken heichim b'erev v'eshehem muksa. So again, I can't go ahead and take from those piles, from the logs in the storage room, unless they're muchan. Before Yantav started, because now they're muksa. Vim haya hateven me'ura bekotzim, but let's say this straw is mixed up with all sorts of thorns. Shere inaroi ela'i shere zemuchan. That's interesting. In other words, once the only thing that the teven could be used for is burning, and that an example of that would be is let's say there's thorns in it, which therefore it means it can't be used, let's say, for food for your animals, then the straw is considered muchan, and I'd be allowed to take from the pile of straw. Okay, Allah yud beis. Ein mevakim eitzim misavar al shalkoros v'neshem muksa. Okay, so I'm not allowed to, literally means chop wood from a big pile. Misavar refers to a pile of wood beams. V'neshem muksa. Okay, so I can't chop wood that was placed on a pile of wooden beams. V'lomina koresh nishbara b'yanta v'neshem nolad. And I can't chop wood from a beam that, let's say, broke off a tree on yantav as well. I couldn't chop it because that would be nolad. Okay. Also, let's say my cup breaks in Yantov, so I can't use, well, let's say, a wooden cup. Let's make it easy. If my wooden cup breaks on Yantov, I can't use it for fire because that also would be an issue of Nola. So again, we're always looking at cases where even though the material, the substance is the same, not to get too versatility, but even though the substance is the same, what they're being used for is something different now. They require a new function as a result of them being broken. Aval masikim bekelim shlemim, but I could use, let's say, my wooden cup, and when it's whole, I could use that for fire. O bekelim shenishbru me'erev yantov, or sharei huchanu melacha cheres me'erev. Or I could, use a kli that broke before yantov, because I could say automatically, by it being broken, it's muchan for something else. Kiyotze bo egozim ushkedim she'achlan me'erev yantov, masikim beklipeyem yantov. So just as an example, in a similar way, let's say I have a walnut, okay? So I eat the walnut before yantov, and I have the shells left over. I will be allowed to burn the shells on yantov. V'imachlan beyantov, but if I ate the walnuts on yantov itself, ein masikim beklipeyem, I would not be allowed to burn the shells. So again, if the shell was split off the walnut before yantav, I could burn the shell on yantav. But if I ate the walnut on yantav, meaning I separated the shell from the walnut on yantav itself, the shell now has a new status, and therefore I can't burn it on yantav. Now this is interesting. This is the first time we've seen this. V'yesh nuschaos sheyesh bahen. But there's other girsas in the Gemara that flip it. She'im achlan mi ba'erev. Ein masikim biklipayim, trei huksu, right? Ve'im achlan biyontov masikim ve'shehem uchanin al-gafa ochel. It's very interesting that the Rambam brings this in, but it turns out there were other girsas, other texts in the Gemara that say as follows, that if he ate the walnuts on Erev Yontov, then he would not be allowed to burn the shells on Yontov itself, because they are muksa, they're set aside, they're now muksa, and ve'im achlan biyontov, but if he ate the walnuts on Yontov, he would be allowed to burn the walnut shells because they're muchan agava ochal, because they're being attached to the ochal itself, meaning the shells is attached to the part that you eat. That means it's already considered muchan for use on yantav, by definition, since it's part of the ochal itself. It's an interesting svara safuchos type of situation where you have two completely opposite ways of learning halacha when it comes to this case. And it's interesting how the Rambam, keeping in mind that the goal here is to write a safer halacha, how the Rambam would bring in this girsa mistake and not tell you which way to paskin like. Okay, halacha yad gimel. Kotz rutuv. Okay, that literally means a thorn or that I just cut off. I should say a branch with thorns that I just cut off a tree. Harehu muksa, or that just came off a tree. It's muksa meisheinu roi lasaka, because we don't burn these types of branches. So what's an example of it of its usage now that it's muksa? I won't be allowed to take this type of branch and use it as a spit to roast my meat over a fire. Okay, halacha yadalid. Notlim eitzim hasmuchim ledafne hasuka umasika behen. So now let's say I took wood that's placed next to the walls of my hut, or my outdoor hut, umasika behen. I can use the ones that are let's say leaning on the wall of the sukkah, not our halachic sukkah, but let's say in general, well, it could be also, but anyway, it's not in the sukkah, obviously, it's leaning on it. I can burn those. But what I can't do, and this is the contrast, I can't bring wood in from the field, okay, even if the wood had been collected, right, in the field before Yantav. But what can I do? I can't go out to the field to get the wood. Okay, but if there is, let's say I'm standing at the edge of my field and there's a bunch of wood lying on the ground, then I'd be allowed to burn the wood that's there. Okay, I just can't bring in the wood that's gathered in the field. Okay, I can bring in wood that's gathered together in a reshus yachid. Right, even if it's a enclosed area that someone doesn't live in, as long as there's some type of entrance to get into it, and it's within the Tchum on Shabbos, but if it's one of these, if it's outside the Tchum, or if it doesn't have an entrance in and out of it, let's say for instance it's locked, then it won't be allowed to use the wood that's inside there. Halacha tesvav, okay, ale kanim, of the ale gefanim, so literally these are leaves of reeds or leaves of grape vines or grapevines. Afapi shehein mechunosen bekarpav, so even if these leaves have been collected inside an enclosure, kevin sharuach mifazeres osan, right, so let's say I have a big pile of these grape leaves, okay. The halacha is that since the wind can come at any point in time and disrupt the pile that I have, they're considered harehen kimifuzarin va'asurin. They're considered as if they are dispersed, and therefore it is asur for me to move them. But if I did something to make them muchan, for example, let's say I put my chair on top of the pile of leaves. That designation means now that these leaves are muchan to be used on yantav, and it won't be a problem of muksa. Okay, halacha tazayin. Behema shemesa biyantav. Okay, let's say an animal dies in yantav itself. Im haisa misuchenes merav yantav. So if the animal was sick, very, very sick, the day before yantav started, hareze mechatcha leklovim. I can go ahead and then take the carcass and feed it to the dogs. Ve'im lav, right, but let's say it was not sick, before yantav. Hov lo haisa daito aleya. Since I didn't have any intention to use it in any way on yantav itself, hareza muksa, right? Velo yazizena mimkoma, okay? And I can't, move it from its place, okay? That would be a tough situation to be in. Behema kachim shemesa, right? Let's say an animal that's set aside for hektish on yantav dies, utruma shenitmes, or truma that now becomes tameh, lo yazizna bimkoma. Also, I can't move it from its place. So these things are intrinsically muksa. Halachi et zayin. Now, dugim v'ofos v'chaya shehein muksa. So in the case where I have like fish or chickens or other animals that are muksa, ein mashkin osan biyantov. Okay, I can't give them water on yantov. Vein nosan lefnei mizonos, and I can't go ahead and put food in front of them. Why? Shema Yavo Likach Mehen. Because what's the problem? The problem is that someone may come along and take that food. The Kol She'asur L'Achlo Oli Shtamasho B'Yontov Neshu Muksa Asur Tatalo. And anything that is forbidden to or to be used, anything that's usher to eat or use on Yanta because it's muksa, of course, I can't move those objects, I can't carry those objects as well. So one obviously follows from the other. Finally, halach yudches, hamachnis ofor mi be'erav yontov. So let's say I bring in dirt before Yantov starts. Im yachid lo b'chatzero keren zavis. Right? So if I set aside an area in my chatzer, like a corner, right, that I'm going to put the dirt there, hareza muchan, umurto tato lasas bokot tzorcha. So then it becomes as if the dirt is muchan now, and I'd be allowed to move that dirt on yantav itself. V'chein efer, also ash, shehusak merv yantav muchan. So let's say I have a fire, and then the ash is produced from the fire before yantav starts, that ash is considered muchan, to be used on yantav. U'kushehusak b'yantav, Kolzman Shuham Kede Latzos Bo Beitza Murtal Tatal Shadain Eshu. This is very important. Again, noting the idea of Nolad. Okay, here, let's say the ash, and let's say I burn a fire on Yantav, and the wood turns into ash. As long as the ash is still hot, I am allowed to move and use that ash. Because we say, since it's still warm, the ash has the properties of fire in it. It's not quite a new substance. We treat it, even though it looks different, obviously, and it's not going to be as hot as the original fire. Nonetheless, we treat it as if it's the same fire, and therefore it'd be mutter for me to use it on Yantav. Vim lav, but let's say it cools off. Asur latatal aveshu nola. Now it's considered a whole new substance. Misha hayolo deker no'ot, maybe erev Yantav, v'nusko b'yantav. Okay, so let's say I had like some type of pole that was stuck into the ground. No, it's like dug into the ground, okay? And v'nusko b'yantov, and when I take it out of the ground, I pull it out of the ground in yantov, v'hela ofar, and it brings up a big chunk of dirt with it. Im haya oso ofar tachuach, harezem mechasebo mutatalo. So if the dirt that comes up with it is very like powdery, then I'm allowed to go ahead and carry that pole thing. But if a chunk comes out, then I have to be careful because I won't be able to, I can't crumble that dirt on Yantav, so moving this whole thing will become a serious question. Okay, starting Paragimel, continuing again in the same similar type of halachas, halacha aleph, mishahayolo ofar muchan, or efer shemutol taltalo. So let's say I have either dirt or ashes that are muchan, and therefore I'm allowed to move them on yantav. Hareze shochet chaya v'of u'mechase dama. So then I can go ahead and use that dirt to do kisui dam. So kisui dam is the halacha that after you shecht an animal, the blood that's on the ground must be covered up with dirt. Vim ein lo ofar muchan o efer haroy l'taltalo. But let's say the person didn't have either the afor or the efer to use, I mean, he didn't have the substance to cover up the blood. Hareze lo yishchot. It's amazing. Don't do shchita then. V'me'avar v'shachat lo yichase damam ad la'erev. And if a person was over the iser and did go ahead and shech the animal, he cannot. He should not cover it up until the yantav is over. So if you don't have the ability to do the mitzvah of kisui dam, the halacha is, don't go ahead and shecht at all. V'chein beria shehi safek im chaya hi im behema. Let's say you have an animal, and you're not sure whether it is domesticated or undomesticated. Okay, you're not sure. Ein shochten osa b'yontov. You shouldn't shecht an yontov. V'im shachat, but if you did shecht it, lo yichas adam al der. Because again, and you're not chayim kisui dam in every single case of a behema. So if you're unsure of its status, right, don't do it. But if you did, you don't do kisui dam until nighttime. Afilo hayolo afar muchan o efer. Even if he actually had afar, again in the second case, if he had afar that was muchan to use. Shema yomar haroa chaya udisi ulafika chisa dama biyantov vyavo roa lahatir chalba. Because what can happen? Because someone can walk by and they'll say, "Oh, that is a mutter animal," And that's why he's doing Kisui Dam on Yantav. And based on that, V'yava Roa, and the person who sees that will say, oh, the chalev of that animal is now mutter, when in fact that's not the case. So that's why you need to be careful in this situation. Halacha beis, v'chein ha-shochet chayev of mi v'erev yantav, l'yichas adam of yantav. If I shecht an animal prior to yantav starting, I shouldn't wait until yantav do kisoy dam. Shachat behema chayev of yantav, v'nisarev damam. Now let's say I shecht, let's say a chicken and a cow together on yantav, and the blood of both animals gets mixed up. L'yichase oso ad l'erev. I don't do kisoy dam until yantav is over. V'mhayalo afar muchan or afer v'yachol l'chasos hakol b'dikira achas harezei yichaseo. But if I did end up, let's say I ended up having afar that was muchan and set aside that I could use for that I could move on yantav itself, and I could cover up all the entire blood with one shovelful of dirt, then I should go ahead and do kisui dam on this mixed blood. Similarly speaking, halacha gimel hashochet behema b'yantav. Mutlo litlosh semer lamakom asakin biyado. Okay, so if I go ahead and shecht an animal on yantav, so I'm allowed to go ahead and take off the wool, okay, that is on the animal using my hand, right, from the place where I tend to shecht the animal. So basically, right near the neck area, I can peel off the wool. Luvach lo yazizenu mimkomo. As long as when I take it off, right, I leave some bit of it like tangled in with the rest of the wool on the animal. But when it comes to shechting a chicken, but when it comes to a chicken, I cannot defeather any of the chicken when I shecht it, because that is getting into the problem of tolesh, of plucking off feathers. And that's forbid. It's usher for me to do that, because that's not a direct heksher for achila. Okay, let's do one more. Alacha dalid, hamafshid or behema b'yantov. So let's say I'm skinning my animal on yantov. Okay, lo yimalchenu sheze ibutu. So I'm not allowed to go ahead and salt the hides, because that's considered ibud, which, if you recall, ibud, we saw that by Malachas and Shabbos, and we even saw it before on cases by. Guys, we saw the case of ibud by cases of cloth. It's processing the hides. Okay, so a person is not allowed to salt any of the hides that he skins off, because that would be considered ibud. And now he's doing a malacha, right, that is not for the purpose of eating. Right, but what he can do is, he could put it in a place where people will step on it. Let's say he'll leave it like on the street in front of his house, knowing full well that the person will walk over it, and by doing so will flatten it a bit, and this way the hides won't be ruined as a result. And the reason why they allowed this is because the Simchas Yantav, because we didn't want a person not to shecht the Yantav, because the hides were very valuable. And it would be very bad if a person knew shechting an animal means he couldn't use the hides. If he couldn't use the hides, therefore he's losing out financially on a big chunk of the animal. He's not going to do shechita on yantav, and it'll be a much more depressing yantav as a result. But you would be allowed to go ahead and do melicha on meat, okay, that's still attached to the skin, okay, that you're going to roast, okay? Again, if I'm going to go ahead and roast this big piece of meat that has hide attached to it, okay, I'm allowed to do that. Umarim bedavarzeh, and I could do it in a tricking way. In other words, it's a wink, wink, because I know what's going to happen through salting it, that the hide's going to get, it's a little bit of ibud as well. Kate said, what should you do? Molech mat basar bekan, umat bekan, achim lech or kulo. So what I could do is I could put a little salt on this part of the meat, and on this part, and this part, knowing full well that what's going to happen is the salt will soak through and actually, affect the hide. Okay, but one more halacha, b'med zvar mor, and halacha, hey, this only applies b'melech litzli, sharei tzarech melech harbe. So it's only when I'm salting it for the purpose of roasting meat that I can do this, because I need a lot of salt. Excuse me, I don't need a lot of salt. Aval the kedera, but if I'm salting the animal for regular cooking, aser limloch ala or, then I can't do that because I need a lot of salt. Okay. V'chein ein mochin es achalavim ve'im ahafchim ahen ve'in shotchin osam beruach al gabi esedos ve'she'enan royin lechila. So too, I can't salt any fats, nor can I spread them out and put them on sticks in the wind to dry off because I'm not allowed to eat the fats. So since I'm not allowed to eat the fats, all the stuff is aser for me to do. It'd be considered prama malacha.